Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for a great trip report show. We're heading out to sea with Disney Cruise Line and down to Walt Disney World with some amazing trips. We're going to combine about four or five trips into the highlights of each and have a great time here as we get ready for the Be Our Guest podcast cruise later this week. First, a quick word from our sponsors. That includes our friends over at touringplans.com. Let's face it, the crowds are building. It's summer down at Walt Disney World, and this fall is going to be a little bit different. There's going to be more crowds than usual with Galaxy's Edge and Batu and everybody wanting to go to a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And you know what? The best way to combat those crowds is a premium subscription to touringplans.com. Drop by their website. Again, touringplans.com. See all the services they offer. Customized touring plans are going to give you all the information you need to make the best of your vacation when the crowds are large. Check them out today over at touringplans.com. A huge shout out to everybody who's buying all their lightsabers, droids, and Jedi robes over on Amazon.com. Please use our Amazon affiliate link. It's BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Costs you nothing extra. You're getting all those prime benefits, and it really does help support the show. So if you want to be a Jedi this week, use our Amazon affiliate link. It's BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1502 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you, and you know it's a happy Monday here in the Rallman household because we are headed to Walt Disney World tomorrow. That's right, our big trip starts tomorrow morning, bright and early, Lambert Airport here in St. Louis, heading down on a Southwest flight, staying a few nights at Riverside. So follow along on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. Then, of course, the week gets better with the podcast cruise on the Disney Dream, double dip into Castaway Key, starting on Friday. So please follow along on the social. We're going to have a good time talking with you and sharing your favorite places. But today we're talking cruising to get everybody ready for the podcast cruise. And even if you're not cruising, this is the best thing to talk about in the summer. Some Walt Disney World to be thrown in there as well. We're heading out to O'Fallon, which is here in St. Louis. If you didn't know, it's a suburb. Jen's joining us today. She is a cruiser extraordinaire. Jen, how's it going?
It's going great, Mike. Great to talk to you.
Glad to have you on the show, and I like to talk to fellow fans of Disney Cruise Line. It's going to be a fun one.
Oh, yes. We love Disney Cruise.
All right. So before we jump into, because we have multiple cruises, and we're going to talk about kind of an unusual pre-cruise stay down at Walt Disney World that I think our listeners will really enjoy, give us a little backstory before we get going here. You know, why Disney? Why do you take Disney cruises? Why do you go to World? What is it about Disney for you?
So my husband and I, we went on our honeymoon in 2002, and decided we hadn't been to Disney World in a long time since we were kids, and we decided to do that and a Disney cruise. And so that was our first taste. And then we went back, and I had to go for work a couple times as a meeting planner. And so as years went on, we just loved it. And then our daughter came along, and she's at the age where she's going to start appreciating other cities and things like that. But until then, Disney was what she enjoyed, and Disney cruising. And so for us, it's a way to disconnect because we're so connected to our phones and devices. And so this is a way for us to disconnect and, you know, reunite as a family. Not that we don't hear, but we don't have the hustle and bustle. And so that's why we love Disney cruising. And then it takes you to different places. And then we just, how can you not love Castaway Key? You know, so that's our jam, as you would say.
Oh, who doesn't love Castaway Key? I know we'll be there two times here this coming week, so I can't wait for that. And you're right. I mean, there's something to be said for disconnecting and enjoying those around us, and a cruise really lends itself to that. But before we dive into the cruise, I want to ask you one more thing about your first cruise and how you found it for your honeymoon. You know, there's so many cruise lines out there that I think a lot of people find it unusual that the folks will go on a Disney cruise for a honeymoon. I get that a lot. And I've been on the ships many times, and I know that the adult areas are awesome with Disney Cruise Line, and you could literally go and not see kids except for like passing in the common areas. I mean, you can really, they have great adult areas where you wouldn't even be around kids. But how did you guys land on Disney Cruise? Was it just because you're such Disney fans that was the only line you wanted to go with?
No, honestly, we were not big Disney fans. And to this day, we love Disney, but not, you know, we're not big parks people or anything. So in 98 is when they started the cruise line, and they really started advertising heavily right around when we were planning our wedding and a honeymoon. And so that was kind of what drove us. I still have a VHS tape of their promotional video of Disney Cruise Line. And at that time, you know, you didn't have the big ships, the Dream Class ships with all the adult areas. You had some adult areas, but it wasn't much. And it was still great for us. And now, even more so, the adults can have a even better time than what we had with all the different adult areas.
You know what? I still have that VHS tape myself. And one of the things I remember, I watched that thing. Like, I wore the thing out because after my first cruise, I went when the Magic came online. Pretty shortly after that, kind of like you, and was just sold. Like, I loved it, and I didn't get back for quite a while. But I watched that promotional video over and over, and I remember it had a song, like, at the beginning or the end of it, something called, like, Across the Sea. And, like, it just kept playing that. And, like, you know, all these memories were going to be made on the ships. And it was great marketing, because I still remember that. And that was the late 90s, and I can't get on the cruise line ships enough myself. I think they're just amazing.
I agree with you. And that's one reason why I love, you know, the navigators, because we keep those over the years and look back at that and other marketing materials and see, you know, what we've done and what they were marketing back then.
Yeah, it is fun. I know a lot of people make those scrapbooks out of those navigators, and we'll talk in a little bit about how that's changing, but there's a way to kind of combat that and to kind of, you know, go back old school. But we'll talk about that in a second. Let's jump into some of your cruises. And before we started recording, we talked about a cruise that you took out of New York. And it was a really kind of all things coming together. You got to sail out of a unique port. It was a Halloween on the High Seas cruise with a Marvel Day at Sea thrown in as well. I mean, is that why this one kind of landed on your radar and you guys took it, because of so many, you know, unique opportunities on this one particular sailing?
Exactly. It fell at the right time. We have a fall break that's a week long, and my husband and I love New York. So we decided that was the cruise that we wanted to do. It also had a day at Disney. And like you said, they added Marvel Day at Sea after we had booked it. And it was just a great itinerary, and they still do it to this day. And we just loved it.
All right, so one thing I want to ask you about that sailing, for folks that might sail in the future, was sailing out of New York. You said you guys are fans of New York and getting that opportunity to sail, but what was different? Was it more difficult? Was it easier? I mean, of course, you have such a metropolitan area to explore, like pre-cruise, but the mechanics of getting on the ship and embarkation, what was that like in New York?
It was actually really easy. The port is right near the heart of town, so we just took a cab from Times Square area, and it was real easy. We went over there, and then you just boarded. It was a lot like boarding anywhere else. There was a small boarding area, waiting area, and then you went in and you checked in as normal and then got on the ship.
Sounds very much like Miami. I've sailed out of Miami, and it's a port. It doesn't have the Disney touches, but it, you know, you go through, you check your ID, you get in your line, and you get on the ship, and everything's fine once you get on the boat. But it just doesn't have, you know, it's not Port Canaveral, but it's fine. It, you know, it's useful to get you there.
The one thing I will mention, though, is we did sail away from Port, I think it was Pier 88, and we returned to Pier 90. And they're right next to each other, but anybody parking needs to be, you know, made aware, or anybody that's got drivers meeting them, it could change.
Yeah, I'll say that when we did sail out of Miami, we did a spring break cruise when Mallory was really little. I was so excited to be there because we drove all the way down, and you know, we parked in the garage, and it's a big port. There's a lot of ships that go out of the port of Miami, and I didn't pay attention to what level we parked on or anything, because I was just excited that we were there. And then when we got back, it took literally 45 minutes to find our trailblazer. It was ridiculous. I was like, I should have paid attention. I was excited. So yeah, remember where you park. That's a good tip. All right, so let's hop into, so you had, let's talk Halloween on the High Seas, because a lot of folks, you know, we're going to be moving into the fall here before you know it. Disney Cruise Line does this every year. So what's that like? A lot of people say, is it Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party at sea, or what's that like?
It's a lot of fun. They have Halloween activities throughout the day if you're on a cruise where Halloween doesn't fall on one of their port days. They have the activities like crafts and things like that throughout the day. And then Then they have trick-or-treating. They might have two sessions. We had two sessions on this cruise. And you come back to the ship and you get all dressed up, and then you literally go on decks 3, 4, and 5 and trick-or-treat. And they encourage the adults to even do it. And then later that night, you'll have fireworks and activities. You don't have fireworks, I'm sorry. But on Halloween, you have all sorts of costume contests for the adults, and you have a lot of different activities throughout the evening. We had the odd experience of Disney could not decide what day they wanted to do all the Halloween activities. And we had Halloween on the ship, and they kept changing whether or not they wanted to have it the day before or a day after. So we actually had Halloween on Halloween, which was also our Castaway Key Day.
So how did that work? So you did the trick-or-treating the same day you were... So what, was it after you boarded the ship, after the day at Castaway Key?
It was the day of Castaway Key, and then after you got back on, then they had one session, I want to say like at 4:30, and I think the other one was at 2:30. They had two sessions. So you had to leave the island early if you wanted the early session, and then if you wanted to go to the 4:30 session, you still had to leave the island before the all aboard.
Nice. Well, I mean, it's not perfect, but I mean, at least you had the option. You could stay out on the beach and enjoy it or celebrate the holiday. Now, did you see guests with a lot of elaborate costumes? I mean, how much did the guests get into this?
I would say probably about this cruise, I would say probably only about 50% of them. You see, it ranges. We've done Halloween on the High Seas many a time, and you will usually see at least half, and especially most of the kids will get dressed up. But from the adult side, you might see about 35% to 50%. They may not be elaborate, but you will see everything from just a simple, accessory to full on Jack Skeleton. You will see a little bit of everything. And the kids all do Disney. The adults will as well, but they have costume contests for the adults, and it's fun to see what creativity the adults do.
That'd be a blast. I got to do one of these. That'd be so fun. Just has to work out with the schedule, but I'm a big Halloween person. I think this would be so much fun. Now, let me ask you too, because before we start recording again, you mentioned that this was a Marvel Day at Sea kind of thrown in like as a little bonus, and your family's not huge Marvel fans, you said, but you really enjoyed this, these kind of activities, which I think that says a lot, because I'm not a Marvel fan myself, never seen a movie. But if the kind of novice Marvel fan or somebody that's just Marvel adjacent enjoys the activities, I'm sure the big Marvel fans would really go kind of crazy over this.
Exactly. If you are a Marvel fan, you have to do this cruise. If you are willing to do a cruise and you love Marvel, it is awesome. Same like with the Star Wars Day at Sea. But the Marvel, they gave us a nice bed runner to keep at the beginning of the day, and the stateroom attendants even told us that we could keep them. So we took ours and got it signed, and then they had meet and greets all throughout the day that, were the ones that were just in the atrium. So we started at the 9 a.m. meet and greets, and we went until, the end of the day when they stopped doing them. And so I really recommend, if anybody's going to do them, just get up early, because those early sessions, those early meet and greets are not busy. And starting around 11 o'clock, those lines got long for those meet and greets. And my daughter would like to add that just plan to arrive at least 5 minutes early for those meet and greets. And if, as long as you're in line, when they cut it off, you'll be okay. So also, they didn't have meet and greets for certain characters, but what those characters were doing was they were roaming the atrium on decks 3, 4, and 5. So you could keep your eye out for them and get pictures and autographs. And then another thing we did was they had a Doctor Strange show that was really neat in the theater for kids to participate in. And they picked kids as they came in. And if you had closed-toed shoes on, you most likely got picked to go on stage and participate with Doctor Strange. So that was one of the neat things that they did.
Yeah, it sounds really interesting, especially if you're into that fandom. Like you said, Star Wars Day at Sea, Marvel Day at Sea. You're still going to get your sunbathing and your Castaway Key and get the sand between your toes and all that. But I mean, that's a that's probably a really special thing to go home with, not only the pictures of you with the characters, because, of course, there are lines, but, I mean, a line on a Disney Cruise Line ship is nothing compared to a line at, say, the studios or, you know, what have you. And the experiences, if you've never sailed with Disney Cruise Line, the character interactions are, again, they're more intimate, they're longer, they're more special with Cruise Line. Do you agree with that?
Oh, definitely. And they had... Even the characters were dressed up in Marvel outfits. So you saw Chip and Dale as Thor and Loki, and you saw Mickey and Minnie dressed up. It was really cute. And they, and all of those characters and the Marvel characters, like you said, they all took extra time. My daughter, the next day, some of the characters were roaming the ship, and my daughter had a handstand contest in the atrium with Spider-Man. Now we know who won that contest, but that was one of the things that, you know, was random that you see on a Disney cruise that you don't get in the parks. Yeah. You don't get that special time.
Yeah, that's so, in those pictures, I mean, for one thing, if you've never been on a Disney Cruise Line ship, they're gorgeous. I mean, they're just, you could take a picture of anything. I mean, you don't have to take a picture of like anybody in the picture. You could take I have pictures of the elevator shaft because it's that pretty, you know, it's the architecture is amazing, but you get great pictures of the kids with the characters, without the characters, all over the ship. So be ready for that. One other thing I want to ask you about this cruise was that you guys did on your voyage south there, you had a stop, like Walt Disney World was a port. Port Canaveral, they bus you over to Walt Disney World. What are the mechanics of that for folks that might be on a sailing that has that?
So that's one where, if you reference back to your episode 1456, Considerations Before the Disney Cruise, and things that you need to do to prepare when your booking window opens, this is one of those cruises where you really have to pay attention to your booking window and know what you want to do. So you had to pick what park you were going to start your day off at when you were doing your pre-cruise prep. So, and again, Disney was constantly changing what we were going to be able to do on this cruise. And originally we weren't going to be able to do Pandora, but then they added Pandora. So we changed from starting our day off at Animal Kingdom to Magic Kingdom because we found out that we could use fast passes. So, you know, when you're doing your pre-cruise prep, you need to make sure that you also download and update your My Disney Experience app and set up your account, because 2 days before you actually get to Walt Disney World, to Port Canaveral, you will get your tickets in your stateroom. And those tickets, you know, are just like regular park tickets that you can link to Magic Bands if you bring them like we did, and you can also link to your My Disney Experience. So then you can go online and get 3 My Disney Experience Fast Passes, plus you get 3 Anytime Fast Passes.
Nice.
So we started off the day with 6 Fast Passes. And so our actual Port Canaveral day, we pulled into Port Canaveral. Cabanas was opened early for breakfast. I want to say like 5 a.m. or something like that, really early. And then before leaving the ship, they made sure you had your navigator, at the time, the personal navigator, that had all the bus times for all the parks. So you knew what time the buses were leaving to come back to the ship.
Yeah.
Now, once you were in Walt Disney World, you had to figure out how to get from park to park, but, you know, that's fairly easy. And so they just wanted to make sure you had the bus schedule and your passports or birth certificates.
Yeah, I could imagine that could be a little bit hairy for folks that aren't comfortable with, you know, maybe you're just going on a, you know, say you find yourself on the sailing, you've never been to Walt Disney World before. Of course, you have the perks of having the 6 fast passes, but when you get there, it's simple for you and your family to make sure, because you can judge, like, you know, if I'm back at, you say I went to Epcot and I'm back at, say, American Adventure, you know, like, I'm not going to be at that bus in 10 minutes. You know, I got to budget 40 minutes to get to the front of the park, get to the bus, get on it and get back in time. I'd imagine that they are kind of a little nervous that maybe the amateur traveler might not make that bus on the way back to Port Canaveral and they got to sail.
Yeah, they kept asking every stop point along the way to the buses, when we boarded the buses, every stop point, they made sure and you got your navigator in your room the night before. And I would imagine even with some of the changes, they may still do that for this particular cruise. But this is one where if you're not familiar with Walt Disney World, having a travel agent like the Magic for Less is great because you have them as a resource for your Walt Disney World day as well and helping understand what they should do.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I agree. I mean, I just think that it's good to have somebody there looking out for you. Now, one last thing on this one, because I want to talk about your San Diego cruise, because that's a very unique one. This was on the Magic, correct? Make sure this is a Magic sailing.
This was on the Magic. The San Diego cruise was on the Wonder.
So before we get to the San Diego one, on the Magic for the New York cruise, what did you think of that ship? Because the Wonder and the Magic are similar. They're both the classic ships, and you've been on the larger ships. What do you think of the Magic and the Wonder kind of as a ship?
The classic ships are actually my favorite. I love that they're more intimate, and actually the crew loves the classic ships because there's not as much rush with dinner service, and you don't have some of the newer amenities. You don't have the ice cream shops, but you have the small nature, the intimate nature of the ship, and just ease of moving around. And, you know, as I look at all these big mega ships, not the ones that Disney has, but other lines, I just can't imagine after, you know, being on the classics, being on these mega ships, you know, and this crew on the smaller ships, I think they take extra time to get to know you.
Oh, yeah. And they're super proud of their ships. I mean, I think they all are. But I noticed that, like you said, you mentioned this, that when I sailed the Magic back when it was just the Magic and the Wonder, and then we sailed the Wonder just, 4 or 5 years ago, the people on the Wonder, like, that's their ship. They have ownership of it, and they love it. Like, they want you to know, like, you know what? I'm on the Wonder because I want to be on the Wonder. I'm not on the Wonder because I couldn't get a job on the Fantasy.
Exactly. And one of the things that they are doing right now as we speak with the crew is as they come off of their contracts and come back from vacation after a classic ship, they're sending those folks that have been mainly on the classic ships over to the Dream and the Fantasy for them to experience the Dream Class ships to prepare them for the new ships that are coming online.
It's going to be crazy. It's going to be great. I just hope. I mean, you know, it's like Disney Cruise Line's expensive. I always tell myself because of supply and demand. So, you know, I don't think that the prices will ever drop, but I'm hoping because there'll be more supply. But, you know, it's funny how, you know, the old economics class that I took in seventh grade doesn't usually work out with Disney economics. You know, it's got its own kind of stratosphere. It's a shame. Anyway, they're worth it, though. I love them. All right. So let's talk about your cruise on the Wonder out of San Diego. So the West Coast cruise, very different. So walk us through that one a little bit.
So San Diego, I did this. I was going to have travel with my dog for work coming up, long, extensive travel. So I wanted to do something with my daughter. And my daughter also had 9 cruises. And so she just needed a 10th to get to platinum. And then I also had some work, personal family things I had to do in San Diego. So it kind of all came together real well. And the San Diego cruise that we did was a 2-night cruise. And it's a perfect weekend getaway because it sails on Friday and gets back on Sunday. So it's a great weekend getaway, easy way to add to your cruise status. And for the West Coast listeners, it's a great way for them to sample Disney Cruise if they don't want to fly all the way across the country and just get a taste. Because what you'll find is there were a lot of first-time cruisers, and they loved it so much that they rebooked on board or they booked a placeholder.
Yeah. Was this a 2-night cruise to nowhere, or did it go to a port?
I actually was on the last 2-night cruise to nowhere, but because of the Coast Guard regulations, or I don't know what the law is, but they can no longer sail to nowhere. So they have to port in, and they use Ensenada as their port.
It reminds me, those West Coast cruises just remind me of the Love Boat, you know, because it's like where they always win. That's one of my favorite TV shows. So I got to do one of these cruises. All right. So one of the things you mentioned in the bulleted points for this sailing was that this is where you encountered, and we mentioned this a little bit earlier in the show, some changes with the personal navigator. And if you don't know, if you've never sailed, the personal navigator over the years since Disney Cruise Line started back in the late 90s was basically your program for the next day. It came in your stateroom the night before, told you everything that was happening, shows, towel folding, classes, anything you could do, what time dinner was, where, you know, what was going to be on the menu that night, the drink specials for the next day, the port stuff, It was everything you needed, but they're going digital on this, right?
So the personal navigators were handed to us before we went through security before we checked in. And then I also went on board to guest services and requested it with evening service. And so they actually delivered it to us each night. And then they had a stack readily available at guest services. But the cruise director throughout the cruise really did stress, become best friends with your app, the Disney Cruise app. So they really stressed that throughout the cruise, and they're trying to get away from the paper, but they haven't completely gone away, which I'm appreciative of. You know, it's nice to be able to highlight what you want to do, what your family's doing, and see your day all together at once.
Yeah, I'm a fan of the paper ones for a few reasons. One, you mentioned earlier, I like to disconnect on a Disney cruise. I never get to do that. I'm connected all the time back home because, you know, I need to be there for my guests. And so, you know, I'm always attached to my phone, checking messages and what have you. And I like to disconnect on the cruises. And with the paper, I could just throw it in my back pocket, carry it around. And actually, they recently made like little small versions. You can make like a little pocket version of the highlights and just rip out and throw in your pocket. And that's great. And you can also go down to like deck three guest services and grab one if you're in the neighborhood. But I mean, there are advantages to the app because like you can get a reminder 10 minutes before an event is to start. It'll send you like a little notification. Hey, don't forget, you know, the belly flop contest is happening up in the adult pool or something like it. You know, that's nice. And of course, now they're getting messaging because when you're with a group, it's kind of nice to message through your iPhone. So, I mean, it's like anything else to me. There's positives and negatives, but I do like the personal navigator. And I know a lot of folks bring those home as souvenirs because when you get home, you can remember all the stuff you highlighted and the stuff you did.
Exactly. That's what we do is I love saving them so I can refer back to them, as I mentioned.
All right. So let's hop into real quick some of the tips you have for visitors, because, you know, people that are sailing Disney Cruise Line, maybe for the first time or the first couple times, you've learned a lot on these sailings. You've been on the ships a lot. So walk us through some of the things you've learned that might help even folks this week on the podcast cruise. A lot of us have sailed many times, but especially the first timers.
So a few of my favorite tips are, you know, use the cruise to try new food, and especially with the kids, it doesn't cost anything. If you're in Palo, you can order as many entrees as you want. They'll bring you every dessert you want. You know, you've got the quick service on the pool deck and at the dining rooms, you can order extra entrees. So don't be afraid to try the food. Don't be afraid to have your kids try new foods. That's what I love about the dining on here. Cabanas, usually they direct you to go to your last dining room for your last morning's breakfast, but we like to go to cabanas for breakfast on debarkation morning because we don't feel rushed. We're not hauling in all of our things to the dining room. So that's one of our other dining tips.
I got to jump in on that one, Jen, because that is like the saddest meal ever.
Yes.
Like, because like, I mean, I'm platinum. I've sailed many times and it is still the sad. I know I'm going to be back at some point. I never know exactly when, but it's like everybody's there and everybody was so hyped up last night. You're in that same restaurant. Everything's fun. You're having, you know, that last night you're going to go to Evolution or what have you, you know, Beat Street, whatever ship you're on, you have a good time. And you know, it's still going on. And then boom, you wake up that next morning, you're back right where you started. Everybody's got their luggage under their feet and in the halls, you know, in the little pathways. God, that is the worst. I'm going to try cabanas this time. It's so depressing. Oh, I hate it.
It's great. And you can just linger there as long as until they kick you off or, you know, so whereas the dining room, they're trying to flip the room.
They
so
are.
It's great.
They are. There are. You done with that? I just took two bites. Hey, let me finish. Yeah, that's a good tip.
One of the other tips I like to give is the kids club has magic band. They're magic bands, but they're only for the kids club accessing that. But what you can do is those pucks that are used for the ships, you can take that. You can buy the band, you know, have them charge the $12.95 for and don't return the kids club band, which they encourage you to keep, and take the puck out and put an active Disney World puck in there. They screw in pretty easily. And then that way you have a Disney Cruise magic band at Disney World. So you know, they don't sell magic bands for Disney Cruise, but we love Disney Cruise, so we wanted a magic band. So that's what we've done. We've taken our daughter's puck out from the Oceaneer Club, and put in an active Disney World puck because they're the same size.
Yeah, we may have done that ourselves because they're really, they're cool looking. I mean, you get charged for them, but it's not bad. It's just like buying a magic band. It's not bad. Nice. All right. So another thing you said is Castaway Key weather and post office. So talk to us about that.
So Castaway Key, the weather is constantly changing. If you put Castaway Key on one of your weather apps, you will go crazy looking at all the changes leading up to your cruise for the forecast for your day. So what, you know, you just need to just relax and hope for the best and don't take too much. Don't read too much into the weather app for Castaway Key for your day far in advance. And even a rainy day on Castaway Key is better than a day back home anywhere.
Yeah, one of my favorite days ever. I'm not talking just on Castaway Key. I'm talking one of the most fun days of my entire life is on one of the podcast cruises, either the second or the third maybe. You know, we had a bunch of friends out there and it rained pretty hard for about 3 or 4 hours, but we never got out of the water because there was no lightning. And for folks that are listening, that is, we're experiencing very heavy weather here in St. Louis as we record. So that's actually the rain that you've been hearing hitting the windows. So if you've been hearing my watch, it's all the severe thunderstorm warning. So anyway, we're going to muddle on here and keep going. But one of the best days I ever had, we were out in the water, no lightning. It was just raining really hard. And, we had some floats and a bunch of us just threw the floats over our heads, hung out in the water, and we had the best time just hanging out and talking. So you're right. Even a rainy day at Castaway Key beats any day back at home.
Exactly. And sometimes the post office on the island is open. So it's great if you want to send a postcard home from the Bahamas, they stamp it with the Castaway Key and they also sell character postcards. So you just have to make sure you have cash. The cash for the stamp is 65 cents last time we were there. And then the postcards that they sell are $1. And you also get 2 free postcards in your vanity that you can use to send home.
I bet you kids don't even know what those are. Not to think about it. What's that? It's a picture. No, it's a postcard. That's fun. All right. So a few more tips and then we'll get on to your Walt Disney World trip here and close this out.
Okay, perfect. One of the things, they have Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique on all the ships. And you can go as a child or as an adult and ask for a complimentary pixie dusting and you'll get the full pixie dusting experience. And it's real quick. You just walk in and just tell them you want to be pixie dusted and they oblige.
That's fun. That's fun. I like that. That's a good tip.
Mike, you can even do it on your cruise.
I got Bibbidi Bobbidi Booed at the end of the Princess Half Marathon. I wasn't looking for it, but there it was. I had to get my medal and bam, I got it. So yeah, I'm ready. I'm good to go now.
One of the really neat things that I come across with our cruises is they do late night rehearsals out on the deck. We saw them doing a Frozen rehearsal before they sailed to, I think it was before their Alaskan sailing 1 year. And then they also did Very Merry Christmas rehearsals in the atrium. Now, you can't take photos or anything, but they will let you watch. And it's really neat to see them doing the rehearsals late at night.
Yeah, I've actually seen that myself. And it is funny because a lot of times you can tell, like, they stop. I mean, it's a rehearsal. They're practicing things. But it's funny because you can tell, like, where some of the characters that might be in costumes, you know, like I'm talking like Disney characters, like running around, but it's like just, you know, a person running around in their place. It's interesting to watch, though, especially if you're a big Disney fan.
Exactly. And then the last tip I was going to mention was you can do a placeholder. If you want to cruise again, if you loved your Disney cruise, but you're not sure when you're going to cruise next, you can go to the Future Cruise Desk and you can put a $250 deposit down for a stateroom. And that serves as a deposit for when you do decide to do book your Disney cruise and your dates. And they can use your agent and transfer it to your agent. And so then your agent can remind you that you have the placeholder, and it's just a great way because you get 10% off of the lowest fare at that time, at the time you book, and you get a stateroom credit. And it's just I regretted the one time I did not do it because we love Disney cruising so much.
Yeah, I mean, that's really important that, you know, before you leave the ship, if you even think you may cruise again, put down that $250. It's 100% refundable. And if you don't take that cruise within 2 years, it gets automatically refunded back to the card. And you're getting 10% off at the best rate on future cruises. And, you know, and I think you get an onboard credit with most. You do get an onboard credit with most sailings, too. So it's kind of like a win-win-win. So you don't want to miss that. All right. So let's get into this highlight of this real quick. You guys went to Walt Disney World before one of these cruises with a large group. It's the soccer family, you called it. Let's try to get this in before the electric goes out, because now my house is rocking. We're about 40 miles away from each other, and I think it got to me now. So we're hanging in the rain. It's crazy. I just heard the house shake, so go ahead.
Yeah, so we were planning on going to Disney before our cruise, and another family in our soccer family was as well. So then everybody started slowly adding on, and we ended up with 9 families and 35 people. And so just a couple tips is one of the things we did was we created a secret Facebook page for planning so we could all share our plans, where we were staying, how we were traveling, and it worked out really well. Another thing we did was we took a group photo. We decided when we were going to take our photo, and we all decided like Sunday at 5 o'clock, you know, in Epcot near the bridge. So the one tip I have regarding a photo is make sure you know whose Magic Band the photographer scanned for the photo pass, and ensure it's someone who has purchased Memory Maker.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So our picture, our group picture didn't turn out, and we had to have them search for it, but they eventually found it. Disney did about a week or 2 weeks later, but just know who has it, and that way you get it. But also the Disney photographer will still take a picture on your camera. So we had those photos as well. And then one of the big listeners, favorite listeners here, Amy, who's listening, she came up with a great location, La Hacienda, for a group meal. And it worked really well. Now, we all did a late meal together. It was like 8:15 during Illuminations. But we were able to all get reservations. And then what they did was when we got to La Hacienda early and they knew that we were all together, so we gave them advance warning and then they sat us in a room off to the side. So it worked out really well. It was a great location at Epcot for that.
Yeah, good food. And I've heard they really do accommodate groups well at La Hacienda. So I'm glad to hear you guys had a good experience with that. That's awesome. Did everybody enjoy themselves?
They did. We all stayed different lengths, and some people did the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party together. We got off the cruise ship and we had 80 text messages from that thread for Halloween night waiting for us because we weren't involved, but they still had us on the thread. So everybody had a great time. We did, we all decided to do Magic Kingdom on one day together and Epcot together. But you don't have to do every ride together. You know, we did things when we wanted to as a group, but we couldn't do everything. And then we met up for fireworks, and I didn't get to see Happily Ever After because we had some dining issues, so I had to go to guest services. And that's one thing I want to say is I had a great guest services representative at the Magic Kingdom. And so if you have Twitter or any way of communicating with Disney, do cast compliments. If somebody really takes time with you, one of the cast members, make sure to do a cast compliment.
Yeah, I agree.
Because they really appreciate it.
Yep, send them to @WDW today and # cast compliment with the cast member's location and name, and they take good care of them. All right, well, Jen, we're going to get out of here because, again, it's spring, it's the Midwest, it's Missouri, and who knows if there's tornadoes or it's crazy out there right now, and I don't want to lose the file. So thank you so much for coming on. Get me pumped up for the cruise later this week, and we'll talk to you soon. Hopefully I'll sail with you very soon.
Awesome. Thank you, Mike.
All right, don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends at touringplans.com. They're going to keep you out of line, seeing the most amount of attractions possible on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal Vacation. Drop by their website today. Check out all the great services they offer for the cost of a couple of Mickey bars. Of course, those are complimentary on the ships, but you got to pay for them at the Disney destinations on land. So check them out today over at touringplans.com. BRGuestPodcast.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link. It's at BRGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, cost you nothing extra, and it really does help support the show. Again, BRGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. This is the time to follow us on social. Heading down to Walt Disney World tomorrow. I'm at BeOurGuestMike on Facebook, or sorry, on Twitter and Instagram. And of course, drop by the Facebook page at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here. Let you get on with your week. We'll be back again on Wednesday. We're not missing any shows. We're going to record before we take off. So we have listener questions heading your way in 2 days. So for Jen, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.